Amen. Wasn't that a blessing this morning? I'm going to try to stay here close to the mic. I don't think this thing's working this morning very well, and so that's okay. We'll be fine. We'll work our way right through it. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10. I just can't be as animated as I was in the 8:30 service, which might be good for all of us, all right? Mark chapter number 10. We've been journeying through the Gospel of Mark and the life of the Lord Jesus, greatest individual to ever grace our planet. I tell people we read biographies all the time of what we would understand as great people or what the world would acclaim as great people. You'll never read a greater story about anybody than you will in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You've never read the greatest narrative of a life that's ever written till you read in the Bible about the life of Jesus Christ. I tell you, there's nobody like Him, and nobody loves you like He does this morning. And we see that right here in our passage. Look, if you would, in verse number 46. The Bible says, "And they came to Jericho. And as He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging." I can't read that. I was telling the 8:30 service this morning, Brother Vernon and I, we were talking about this, that when you get to this passage right here, you read that verse, you can't help but think about, my mind just out it went, Lester Roloff. He'd sing about blind Bartimaeus sitting by the highway side begging. Now listen, everybody ought to hear Lester Roloff sing that song, not because he sings it wonderfully. He doesn't really have a great voice, all right? But I'm telling you, what he's got in his heart is unbelievable. He's in heaven, great, great preacher of yesteryear, and his voice is ringing in my ears every time I read this passage. Look at verse 47. "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace." Be quiet, Bartimaeus. "But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' And the blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." What a wonderful, wonderful passage of Scripture. I mean, filled with excitement. I'm telling you, I can't wait as we delve into the passage and understand that this is the last of the recorded healings, miracles of healings in the book of Mark, all right? And that doesn't mean that Jesus is not going to perform any other miracles, all right? Because He will. But up to this point, this will be the last healing that's mentioned in the Gospel of Mark. It's amazing the number of people and the kind of people that Jesus healed. I mean, He healed people that couldn't hear and He caused them to be able to hear. People that couldn't talk and He enabled them to be able to speak. People couldn't walk and they began to walk and run and leap with joy. There were others that God healed them of, the Lord healed them of infirmity. A withered man stuck forth His hand in a crowd and the Lord healed him. He raised the dead. Do you realize in the 3.5 years that Jesus graced our planet, He banished disease and death from Israel and that area of the world. He was showing forth the mighty power, the inherent power of His deity as the very God of heaven come down among men. And you're going to find that it's significant. Of all the people that Jesus healed, recorded in the Bible, He healed more blind people than He did anybody recorded in Scripture. All right, and the reason He did that is because a blind person most resembles us more than any other individual in the Bible. See, here was a man that couldn't see, and he's going to be able to see. And you know what? There was a day in my life I couldn't see, not physically, but spiritually. And you know what? In a moment, the Lord enabled me to see. And that's what He wants to do for you this morning in your own life. Now, I want you to notice a phrase, "and they came to Jericho. That's significant. Jesus is on his final journey to Jerusalem. He's passed through Jericho many times going up to Jerusalem, but this is the last time. He's on the way to the cross. In a matter of weeks, he will be condemned, betrayed and condemned, and he's going to be crucified for the sins of the entire world. And that spoke volumes to me. If I knew that I was getting ready to die, if I knew that, I'd probably be self-absorbed. I'd probably be thinking about me and me only and what's ahead for my future, but not so with the Lord. He knew what he was going to face, but yet he was more interested in others than he was himself. You know, that ought to be a lesson to every one of us, that no matter what's going on in our lives, we can never forget about the needs of others. Jesus was others-oriented, and we need to be others-oriented in our own lives. And the Bible said he's going to go through, he came to Jericho. Jericho is in the flatlands, all right? Jerusalem is on a mountain, and you're going to find that Jericho is located about 15 miles northeast of Jerusalem. You have to remember, you're going to come down, okay? You're going to come down from Galilee. If you have a picture of the land of Israel in your mind, Galilee's in the north, Judea's in the south, and the Lord has spent much of his ministry that we've been reading about in Mark in Galilee. Now he's making his final way down through Israel, all right, through Galilee into Judea. He's going to pass through Jericho and up to Jerusalem, all right? And so he's heading that way. And it's about, and you're going to find that the city's name means fragrant or perfumed. Jericho was an oasis. It was plush with vegetation. Two major springs fed and brought water to the countryside. It was filled with groves of palm trees and flowers of every color and variety. You would smell the city before you ever arrived, and there would be all kinds of different flowers that would give off a pleasing aroma. The city was a place of wealth. You're going to meet a tax collector there. Probably already taken place by this point. A short man like me by the name of Zacchaeus got saved. Remember, he's in a sycamore tree and climbed up in it so he could see the Lord. The Lord went to his house, and he didn't just go to his home. He entered into his heart. You know, it's one thing to have Jesus in a home. It's even better to have him in your heart. Amen? And you find that he was in his heart. Now he's going to meet a blind man. A blind man. And this blind man is very important. Notice the Bible said, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, that's the number of people following him, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. You know that the Lord performed numerous healings. He healed at least on seven different occasions blind people. This is the only person identified, the only blind person Jesus healed identified by name. Now, I explain to you why that's so important a little bit later on. But he's Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Now, many people that are Bible deniers, they're critics, who seek to destroy the inerrancy of Scripture, want to use this passage. Did you know that? Instead of getting the blessing out of the passage, they want to use it as an excuse not to believe the Bible. They claim there's a contradiction here. Because when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew and Mark says that as Jesus was coming out of Jericho, he healed blind Bartimaeus. All right. Luke says as he was entering into Jericho, he healed blind Bartimaeus. All right, the blind man. Well, which is it? Preacher, coming out or going in? It's both. I say yes. You say, why? Because what they don't tell you is there were two Jerichos in the Lord's day. There was an old Jericho and a new Jericho, an ancient city of Jericho, Old Testament city, and a New Testament city of Jericho. Old Testament Jericho was destroyed by the Israelites under Joshua. In Joshua chapter 6, remember they marched around the walls of the city, and the walls fell down flat, and they entered up into the city, and they took the city. You remember that from the Amorites that lived in that city, and then it laid in ruins for hundreds of years. During the reign of King Ahab in 1 Kings 16, the day of the prophet Elijah, a man rebuilt the city of Jericho that had been destroyed centuries earlier. And then it was later after that destroyed by the Babylonians in 587 B.C. You say, preacher, why is that so important? We're going somewhere. Stay with me. And so it was destroyed. It was in ruins. All right? But it was a beautiful area. People loved to go there. King Herod, about 37 years before the Lord was born, all right, before Jesus was born, rebuilt what we understand as the New Testament or New City of Jericho on a site adjacent to Old Jericho. And by the time the Lord is in his public ministry, you're about 60 years down the road. It's a bustling metropolitan area, very wealthy. It's a center of tax collection. People coming through and going to Jerusalem would always pass through Jericho to go up through what we learned is the Wadi Kelt, that cart path, the Jericho Road that would lead up to Jerusalem. Take you about 6 hours to make that trip, and every bit of it's going uphill. It's amazing. And you'll find so that now Old Jericho and New Jericho have sort of grown together. Sort of like going from Bristol, Tennessee to Bristol, Virginia. Same city, it's just grown together over the state line. How many know what I'm talking about, okay? So it's a similar idea here. And so there's two Jerichos. And so the Lord, blind Bartimaeus, is setting on the thoroughfare that connects these two cities. And so as the Lord is going out of Old Jericho and he's entering New Jericho, he meets Bartimaeus. And so from Matthew and Mark, he's leaving Old Jericho. In Luke, he's entering New Jericho. He's in Jericho and he's going to heal a blind man. And friend, listen, there is no contradiction at all. As a matter of fact, the Bible is more accurate than they are, because God will always tell you the truth and they won't. Isn't that amazing? Well, let's talk about Bartimaeus. Could we do that? I call him a blind man with 20/20 vision. You know what? He could see what other people couldn't see. Isn't that amazing? And let's look and understand what Bartimaeus could see that everybody around him couldn't see. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray, Lord, that we would learn today of a great event in your life as you healed a man by the name of Bartimaeus. It was the greatest day in his life, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to understand the truths that you want us to learn today. God, grow us in your grace. Lord, if there's someone here without you, I pray they'd be saved today, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, blind Bartimaeus. Do you know that somebody said there's no one so blind as he who will not see? Do you realize that there are multitudes of people walking around us and they're blind? Now, you know what? They can see with their physical eyes. They can do that. They're not walking around with a cane trying to determine where they're going. They don't have a seeing eye dog. Somebody's not guiding them around. But you know what? They're blind nonetheless. They can see physically. They can see with their eyes, but they fail or refuse to see with their heart. And you're going to find that Bartimaeus couldn't see anything as far as this world goes. But you know what? When it came to another world, he had 20/20 vision. You know what you and I need this morning? We need some 20/20 vision spiritually, don't we? We want to see some things, some truths that Bartimaeus found. And I want you to notice as we look at Bartimaeus that he was a man that had a pitiful condition. I want you to see Bartimaeus is pitiful condition. Look again at verse number 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. So the first thing we learn about Bartimaeus, he was blind. He was blind. Did you know about every 20 minutes a person goes blind in America, they lose the blessing of sight? Did you know that? That's a tragedy, isn't it? It's a tragedy. You hate for anybody to lose their sight. Now, we're not told. It may have been that Bartimaeus has never seen the light of day. He's never seen. You know what? More than likely, he's never seen the beauty of a sunset. He's never, you could say, Bartimaeus, look at that beautiful purple flower over there. Oh, there's a yellow one. Oh, look at that bank of red flowers over here. Boy, aren't they beautiful? And he could smell the aroma, but he couldn't see the sight. Isn't that amazing? And he had never seen any of these things in his life. You see, in the Lord's day, in that particular climate, it was very arid, it was very dry, there was a lot of sand, the sun's glare It wasn't uncommon for people to go blind. There was a lack of medical attention. In any city you would go into, you would find the roads lined with blind people. They would be sitting there, covered over. They would be begging right there. You would find their eyes encrusted with matter. Many times there would be flies landing on their sightless eyes. And it was just a pitiful sight. And this is Bartimaeus. He's been there most of his adult life. Did you know that? And his parents have placed him there because he was blind. It's reduced him to poverty. There wasn't any government agency, wasn't any charitable organizations to help them. No, in that day, they begged. And he would sit by the highway side there and probably been doing it year after year after year, been there all of his life, dependent upon the kindness and the generosity of somebody else just to survive. I mean, it's just a pitiful, pitiful situation. But I'm going to tell you something even more pitiful. You say, preacher, what is it? It's the fact that Bartimaeus describes what we were before God saved us. Did you know that? Hey, we were blind beggars. What do you mean by that, preacher? We were blind to the goodness and the grace of God. The Bible said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. You see, listen, there's people all around us, they can see, but they can't see. I mean, they can see the world, but they can't see another world. They don't understand that they're sinners. They don't understand that the way of salvation. They don't understand who Jesus is and that He loves them. They don't understand the truth of heaven and hell. They're blind to all of these things. And you know what? That's exactly where I was. Hey, I was in church. I knew about Jesus. I knew about being saved. I knew about the things of God. I knew about all of that. But I was blind to it till one day the Lord passed by and opened my blinded eyes. Oh, to God be the glory for the day that Jesus passes by and you go from blindness to sight in the things of God. Amen? He come out of the darkness and into the light. What a wonderful truth. Only Jesus can open blinded eyes. And you know what? Hey, we look around us at the world and there's a pitiful condition out there, and it's not physical, it's spiritual. People need the Lord. They need the Lord. And then, not only see his pitiful condition, but I want you to note Bartimaeus' persistent cry. Look at verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus, so he can not see, but he can hear. They say that whenever you lose one of your senses, that the other senses are heightened. And so he's used to people walking by. Travelers come through all the time, pilgrims making their way to Jerusalem, up to the temple to worship. But boy, this day was different. I mean, there was a commotion. I mean, he could hear the trampling of feet. He could hear the voices. I mean, he knew something different was going on. And he began to evidently ask other people what's happening. He can't see it, so he's trying to get information what's going on. Verse 47, and when he heard. Boy, he heard the news. Jesus is passing by. Jesus is coming through. Listen, at that moment, he began to cry out. He began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. My, listen, it's amazing that right now in this moment, Bartimaeus, who's blind, could see things that everyone else around him who had their sight couldn't see. Say, preacher, what did he see? He recognized who Jesus was. He did. You know, there's two names of the Lord, or two names and titles mean something in the Bible. They have great significance. And in verse 47, you're going to find to him. First of all, is the name Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, when they described Jesus of Nazareth, they weren't using a slight at this point. They were identifying him for who he was. Jesus, or Joshua, was a common name in the Lord's day. What set him apart was he was Jesus of Nazareth. Nobody else had that title. Nobody else had that name. And he understood what that name meant. You know, names mean something. And Jesus' name, the name Jesus, means Jehovah is salvation, or Jehovah Savior. You know what he learned in that moment when somebody said the name Jesus? That only God can save. Friend, you realize you can't save yourself. I can't save myself. There's not enough good works that you and I can do. We can't get baptized enough, catechized enough. We can't get religious enough. There's not one thing you can do to open your blinded eyes. Did you know that? Not one thing you can do to forgive, for forgiveness and to be saved. Only Jesus saves. And then we find he's called Son of David. Boy, he saw something there. Thou Son of David. That was a title. They didn't tell him that. He knew that. He knew there was something different about Jesus of Nazareth and knew that he was the son of David. Preacher, what's the significance of that? Not everybody was called a son of David. Do you know even the kings that came out of David's lineage, the different kings of Israel, they were seen as descendants of David, but nobody went up and called him son of David. They didn't do that. You know why? That was a special title. That was only given to David's greater son who would be Messiah. You see, for centuries, the Israel had looked for a promised Redeemer to come from out of David. One who would come and redeem them, the Messiah of God. And in that instant, he said, not only are you Jesus, but you're Messiah. You're the Lord. You're God. You're the Redeemer. You're the Savior. And he knew something that, you know what, everybody else was missing. It was prophesied in the Old Testament that Messiah would open blinded eyes. Did you know when John the Baptist doubted? He was in prison. He wondered if Jesus was really the Messiah. And he sent some disciples to Jesus and said, are you the one or do we need to look for somebody else? And he sent back word and he said, you tell John the Baptist that the blind receive their sight. That was proof positive. Proof positive that he was Messiah, because nobody could give sight to the blind. Only the Lord could do that. And friend, listen, can I tell you that we need to remember as we approach a holiday season here real soon that some people go through life without ever recognizing what Bartimaeus recognized, and that is who Jesus really is. He's not just a good man. He's not just a great man. Friend, he is the God-man, and everybody needs to know God in Jesus Christ. They do. You know, the people in that world didn't know him. He was in the world, the Bible says. John said this, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. The Creator had come. The one who had made them. The one who healed and gave sight and fit all the criteria of the Old Testament. And he came, and they didn't recognize him. They didn't see him. They didn't perceive him. Friend, listen, we have a world today that they don't see him and they need him so desperately. He realized who he was, but he also realized what he could do. You know, he had been begging for money. Now he's begging for mercy. He says, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Do you know why he cried out for mercy? You know why he didn't say, Lord, heal me. Lord, heal me. He said, Lord, have mercy on me. Here's why. Because in that day, they believed anybody that was blind was under the special judgment of God for their sins, even though you might have been born blind. That's why in John 9, when they came across the man that had been born blind, the disciples asked the question to Jesus, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents? And we know somebody sinned because he's a blind man. He's under the judgment of God. You know what? He understood that he was under the judgment of God. Now, it wasn't because of anything necessarily that he had done, but it was because we're all sinners. Isn't that right? And we're all under the judgment of God. Isn't that true? Because we're sinners before God. And he's crying out for mercy. He says, God, I need mercy. It was a cry of an acknowledgement of misery and unworthiness and of helplessness. Lord, I need you. I need you. Faith began to foster in the heart of Bartimaeus, and he probably had heard of all that he had done this last 3.5 years, that he had caused the deaf to hear and the lame to walk and the dead to be raised and the blind to see, and what he's done for them, he can do for me. Friend, I'm just going to tell you, listen, what he's done in my life, he can do in your life. What he's done in other people's life, he can do for you. Friend, listen, he's not a respecter of persons. He loves everybody. And friend, he wants to open your eyes this morning. Amen. He saw that his greatest opportunity had come. For years he had sat by this highway side begging. No hope. I mean, it's hopeless. Could you imagine? I mean, we all have mundane things in our lives, you know, and you just go through the motions and the grind. Can you imagine the grind of every day being led to a thoroughfare, a road? You sat there as a blind beggar with something out there asking for anybody, somebody to have some kind of kindness towards you and drop a little meager amount of money so that you could eat that day. Could you imagine? And that's your future the next day and the next day and the next day for the rest of your life. And he realized, hey, today is different. Jesus is passing by. I don't have to stay this way. Hey, there's hope. Friend, I'm here to tell you, we don't have to stay the way we are. There is hope in Jesus Christ this morning. And he began to cry out. Lord, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Though blind, he was able to see opportunity when he stared him in the face. And you know what? There, you may be here this morning. I just want you to know, hey, there's opportunity for you today that you can forever be saved. Forever. Don't let it pass you by. You know what? There's other opportunities. You say, preacher, I'm already saved. My eyes have been opened. You know what? He's going to give you opportunities to make a difference in the life of somebody else. Don't miss opportunities God brings your way. Hey, you know what? A lot of times, things pass us by all the time where we could serve God, hand out a tract, invite somebody to church, share the gospel with somebody, be an encouragement. You know, one of the things we need to pray for every day of our lives, God, help me to see the opportunities you bring my way today that I can serve you and I can make a difference for you. Is that your heart's cry? Is that what you want for your life? Are you just going to go through life oblivious to everybody around you? Or are you going to come in contact with the Lord in the sense that you're going to say, God, you want to use me today. I'm your servant. I want to be used of you. Lord, will you help me to see what you're going to bring by my way today where I can make a difference for you? He saw the opportunity could easily pass him by. Had Bartimaeus sat still that day? Had he kept mum, not said a word, the Lord had passed on by. And you know what? He would have stayed there till he died. Nothing would have ever changed in his life. You know what? I just want to tell you that if you're here today and not sure you're saved, don't let this opportunity pass you by. Don't remain another day as you are. Let Him change you. Let Him change you. And then he saw that this opportunity may never come again. Did you know that? Jesus had never passed by when Bartimaeus was there. He never had. I bet probably he'd probably been able to see years ago if he had had that opportunity, but he didn't have that opportunity. Do you know, can I just stop and say something? We're on the verge of our missions revival. Do you realize that while everybody in this room may get, you may say, I can see spiritually. I can see what Bartimaeus can see. Do you realize that the majority of the world around you can't see? And they would see like Bartimaeus, they would see if somebody would give them the opportunity to see. Do you realize there's some young men, there's some young ladies here that God wants to use you to help somebody to see? Did you know that? Not physically, but spiritually. Do you know what? God's going to call on us to make a faith promise offering here in the new future, a commitment for the coming year so that we can send missionaries and send the scriptures and send the gospel and plant churches in areas of America and around the world where there are people that are blind and they don't have any opportunity. Do you realize there are places in our world and even in our own nation that there is not a place like Calvary Baptist Church where they can come and see? Can you imagine that? We need to help them. Take the opportunities the Lord gives us to help somebody else see. Wouldn't you agree with that? He started crying out while he was near. The Bible says, today if you will hear his voice, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today, now is the day of salvation. Friend, listen, we are given now. I don't know about tomorrow. We can't go back and grab yesterday. But you have now. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. He's going to repeat the cry. Look what he does. Look at verse number 48. And they charged him. That means they're rebuking him. Be quiet, Bartimaeus. Nobody wants to hear you. You ain't nothing but a blind beggar. You sit over there and keep your mouth shut. Jesus ain't got time for you. Hold your peace. Steal your tongue. Don't nobody care about you. But he cried the more a great deal. The more they rebuked him, the louder he cried. He's saying, this is my chance. You're not going to get in my way. You're not going to stand in my path. You're not going to block my way. Jesus is my only hope, and there's not anything and anybody going to keep me from Him. Jesus, thou Son of David. See, the idea is he kept yelling it over and over and over and over again. He couldn't go to Jesus. But you know what? He could get his attention by crying out to him. And friend, let me just tell you, hey, you can cry out to him today, and I can cry out to him today. Aren't you glad that he hears us? And the Lord's going to hear Bartimaeus. He is. He cried out the more a great deal, and he's going to receive a response. Look at what happens, verse 49. And Jesus stood still. Can you catch it now? The Lord's moving. The crowd's moving. They're coming by. He realizes this is His moment. In just a few little while, the Lord's going to pass right on by and He'll be gone. I'm not going to have another opportunity. And he continued to cry out and cry out and cry out. And the Lord stopped. Bartimaeus, he ain't got time for you. You hush. And the Lord stopped. And He responded to a man by the name of Bartimaeus. Wow. He's saying, Bartimaeus, I do have time for you too. I'm glad He has time for me. And He has time for you. He's no respecter of persons. There's not one thing that Bartimaeus could give Jesus Christ. Not one thing. He was just to the people around him. I mean, probably every once in a while, some people, there was probably a gracious person, a traveler going up to Jerusalem that felt benevolent and would drop a little money in his plate, but probably the inhabitants of that city walked by him every day. And you know what? They were oblivious to their words. They didn't even notice him. I mean, it was just, they were just there. And they had no regard for him. They just waited till they could die. And then they'd take him to the city dump and throw their body in the dump. They were useless. So far as that society was concerned. And you know what? Jesus said, wait a minute. Hey, I value you. You're important to me. I care about where you are and what you're going through and what's going on in your life. I love you is what Jesus said when He stopped right then. He said, Bartimaeus, I love you. And friend, listen, I'm glad there was a day He stopped my way. And He said, I love you. And I responded to Him. And friend, He wants you to respond to Him today. He calls for Him. Bartimaeus, I don't know how old he was. I have no idea. But I tell you what, I can see it. This is the greatest day of his life. He threw off those beggar's blankets. He got up. Somebody grabbed his hand, guided him to the Lord. And I mean, he's there. I mean, he's excited. Boy, something good's getting ready to happen. And he says, what can I... The Lord says, verse 51, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord. That's an interesting word. That's not just any ordinary word. It means my Lord, my Master. You know what he's doing? At that moment, friend, something's going on the outside, but something's going on the inside. And in that moment, he's saying, Jesus, you're my Lord and you're my Master. You're my Messiah. I believe on you. I believe you. I believe on you. In that moment, he put his faith in Jesus Christ. Isn't that an exciting thing? I'm glad that anybody that comes to Jesus in faith, he'll never turn them away. You know what John says? Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. You know what he's saying? That if you come to him, he won't turn you away. He won't turn you away. You don't know who I am, preacher. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I think. Listen, friend, it doesn't matter. When you come to Him, He'll never, ever, ever turn you away. Never. Bartimaeus' powerful cure. Look, verse 52. And Jesus said to him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. He said, Lord, I want to receive my sight. I want to see. Lord, would you give me my sight? Dr. Luke is amazing, uses a different word. He said, thy faith hath saved thee. See, two things was going on at the same time. He was seeing on the outside and he is seeing on the inside all at the same time. You see, what the Lord was doing for him in a real physical way is also doing for him in a very real spiritual way. And he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. He could see on the outside his eyes. I mean, suddenly the world lit up. Can you imagine that? But friend, can I tell you, even greater than that, his heart lit up. I'm going to show you the reality of that here in just a minute. All right? Let me talk about how the Lord, the power of His cure. It was instantaneously. Look at verse 52. And immediately, that's one of Mark's favorite words, straightway, immediately, he received his sight. Immediately, he could see. Like I said, the world lit up all around him. Suddenly, it's like going out of the darkness, pitch black, and somebody cut the lights on, and then suddenly everything around you comes into view. And this man who had sat by that highway side, and immediately, he began to see the people. He began to see the Lord. He began to see the flowers and the trees and the birds and everything around him. I mean, friend, listen, the world lit up for him. And you know what? When you come to Jesus, the world lights up. You see it in a whole different way. It was complete. The Lord didn't say, now listen, I'm gonna do this for you, and here's some eye drops. Go put them in your eyes and come back and see me in 3 weeks. Let's see if you're any better. No, immediately and completely he could see. And you know what? Watch this. When the Lord saves somebody, he does it instantly. The moment a person places their faith in Jesus Christ, they at that moment are forgiven. Can you imagine this? The moment a person says yes to Jesus Christ and they say, Lord, save me, in that instant their sins are forgiven. Not some of them, not part of them, but all of them. It's complete. In that instant, do you realize what happens? Their name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They pass in that instant from death unto life. God, in that instant, comes to live on the inside of them. In that instant, they change into a very brand new creature. In that instant, their world is turned right side up again. In that instant, everything is different in their lives. And it's forever. You see, Bartimaeus, he saw that day, and he saw for the rest of his life. And on into eternity. I can only imagine what Bartimaeus is seeing today. I bet my granddaddy's met him. I bet he's told the story. Have you noticed that Mark's account reads like a testimony? Have you noticed that? This wasn't Mark's testimony. This is Bartimaeus' testimony. Because you're going to find Bartimaeus' preferred course. I want to show you how I know something happened in his heart and he's given testimony of it. I want you to notice a couple words, okay? In verse 52, the Lord's healed him in verse 51, and he's cried out to the Lord, verse 51. He wants his sight. Verse 52, Jesus said to him, go thy way. Underline that phrase, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. You can see now, Bartimaeus. Now you go any way you want to go. Watch what Bartimaeus says. And immediately he received his sight. And watch what he did. And followed Jesus in the way. Do you know when God saves people, they don't always go the Lord's way. That don't mean they're unsaved. They don't always follow the Lord like they should. They don't follow the Lord all the time they should. You see, here's what's significant about Bartimaeus and why I believe this is his testimony. I believe he's given this testimony many, many times, and I believe Mark heard it. You see, when you read Matthew, you're going to find that two blind men were in the picture here, not just one, two. Now, there's significance about that because Matthew is the gospel of the great king, and the Bible says, let the establishment of truth be in the mouth of two or more witnesses. And so both of these blind men gave witness to the Messiahship of Jesus. That was the purpose of his writing. John Mark is not writing to Jews. He's writing to Romans, to Gentiles. It's a whole different setting. And by this time, all right, Bartimaeus, I believe, was a prominent member of that early church. I believe he is in the part, and we're not told, but I believe because he followed the Lord, we're right at the cross. He's going to follow him to Jerusalem. He's going to follow him when he's crucified. I believe he's part of the 120 in the upper room. I believe he was well known and had given this testimony many times. And as a young boy, Mark had heard this testimony. And the Holy Spirit had him to write it down as a testimony of who Jesus was and how he gave sight to blinded eyes. We don't know what happened to the other blind man. He may have went his way rather than the Lord's way. How do you know you can do that, preacher? Can you think back to me to another incident in the Lord's life where he's going to heal some other people? He's going to heal 10 lepers. You remember that? And he says, go show yourself to the priest. And they all 10 left. And one turned back and began to give him glory out of the 10. The other 10 just went on their way. You remember? Now, I don't believe that's a statistic necessarily, 1 out of 10, but here's what it tells me. Just like there's a choice for salvation, we can either say yes to Jesus Christ or no to Jesus Christ. There is a yes to discipleship and following Him. Young man, young lady, I'm speaking to this morning, and you say, preacher, I was saved at 9 years old, 8 years old, 15 years old, whatever. You've got a choice in front of you this morning, just like Bartimaeus did. You can either go your way or you can go God's way. You can either follow your path or His path. I believe if we could talk to Bartimaeus today, he'd tell you God's path's better. Because see, here he is enshrined in the Word of God. We don't know anything about the other blind man. We don't know a thing. He's not even made it into the pages of Scripture, but Bartimaeus is enshrined as a testimony to the living power of God. And God had a plan for his life, and he gave his testimony all over. And young person, I want you to listen to me this morning. God has a plan for your life, and just like Bartimaeus didn't miss his opportunity, can I encourage you, can I implore you, can I beg you this morning, don't miss your opportunity to follow him. That'll be true of every one of us tonight, this morning, wouldn't it? He said, Lord, I think I'm just going to go your way. There's an old gospel song about that, about following Jesus in the way. And it's talking about, I think I'm just going to go with your way because, I think it goes like this, because looking back, my way just doesn't, I just don't see a whole lot. Y'all remember that song? I just don't see a whole lot. It's an old gospel song. And I'm going to tell you what, I look back at what I used to be before God saved me. I don't see a whole lot there. I don't see anything I want to go back to. I've never understood how somebody gives up and gives testimony and they talk about their past life almost like they enjoyed it and they miss it. Boy, I used to do this and I used to run after that and I used to drink that. And I'm like, why not? But you're almost bragging. I don't want to talk about what I used to be. I don't want to talk about what I used to do. I don't want to talk about what I was before I met. I don't want to go back there. I want to follow Him. That's what I want to do. Made a decision when I was 17 years of age. Lord, I'm just going to follow You. I hadn't followed Him perfectly. I hadn't followed Him all the time like I ought to. But thank God, He's been patient and gracious in my life and let me follow Him. And I just want to encourage you this morning, dear child of God, follow Him like Bartimaeus did. Just follow Him. Let Him lead. Just go God's way. You'll never mess up going God's way. But you will mess up when you go your own way. See, I believe everybody knew about Bartimaeus. He was a man that was blind and then he could see. I believe he's a prominent member of that church. I believe that's why right here, right as the Lord's getting ready to go to the cross, Mark records the testimony of a man sitting by a highway side begging that received his sight and followed the Lord. You know, I think of another man back in another day. It was like blind Bartimaeus. He could see physically, but he couldn't see spiritually. He grew up in a Christian home, had a praying mom. He rejected all of that and become a hater of God. He involved himself in the slave trade. He did. He was part of the shipping that went and took captured slaves from Africa and brought them to England. He was a man who cursed God on a regular basis, but his mama kept praying for him. And you know what? God started doing something in his heart. One day his ship was in a storm. Only God can do this. And a wave came by, took him off that boat into the water. He thought he was going to die. And in that moment, he cried out to God, and God saved him in those ocean waters right then. And then the next instant, another wave, this is his own testimony, come and picks him back up and puts him back on his own boat. Only God can do that. That's an amazing thing. And that man, by the name of John Newton, wrote a song that we sang and Brother Dan led us in last Sunday, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. That's the testimony of every child of God. I was blind, but now I see. And that can be your testimony this morning. Maybe you're here and you say, Preacher, I don't know. I don't know if I know God. I don't know if my sins are forgiven. I don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven. I want to know. But I don't know. Friend, you're in the right place. Today is the right time. And the Lord is waiting for you just like He was Bartimaeus. He is. And you can receive Him today. Today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heads are bowed all over the room. Nobody's looking around, please. If you died right now, do you have 100% assurance you'd go to heaven? Or would you have to say, Preacher, I want to go to heaven, but I'm not 100% sure.